Oh, hey, Mr. Sawyer. How's it going?
Hey, great, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so a couple things before we get started. I'm trying to do a few new things to get a bigger audience and a few more people if you're interested in trying it.
Yeah, why not?
Well, since you're a former Navy SEALs, I think it would be a perfect opportunity to talk about the importance of safe spaces and your white privilege.
My white what?
Privilege. Also, if we could talk about removing the gender roles in our society, that would be great, so everyone can be included.
Gender roles? What are you talking about?
Also, we shouldn't be so negative, because it might hurt some people's feelings, and we want to include everyone, and we want to make sure that people's feelings are taken care of.
Negative feelings? What are you doing? We can't fail to tell the truth to save people's feelings? No! I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, we need to make sure everyone feels safe and we keep them from harm, because everyone's a victim and we need to protect them at all costs.
No, I'm going to protect the children. How about what we do that? We'll protect the children from child predators. Let's go that way.
No, we have to protect everyone from bigotry.
Bigotry? No. This is wrong.
All right, so what are you going to do about it? You're going to punch me? You live in a whole other part of the country.
A whole other part of the country? Well, check this out.
Oh, what the? How did you even do that?
Tier one, baby. You're not cleared for that level.
Of the Sharpie Report. I am your host, Sam Johnson. We are found on YouTube, iTunes, and Blog Talk. Well, I had to take an extra shot of testosterone today because we are having a very manly conversation. But don't worry, it's for ladies as well. We're talking to a man who's been on the front lines, not only of the spiritual warfare, but of the literal military warfare, being a Navy SEAL. His name is Craig Sawyer. He is the founder of Vets for Children, and he has actually have a great documentary coming up, but he's going to talk to us about what the work he's been doing and how he's been putting a lot of evil people behind bars. So, Mr. Sawyer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Sam. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Oh, it is a pleasure to have you on. So before we get started too much into what you're doing, I want to talk about your background. Where do you come from, and then how did you get to the point where you are slamming the bars and putting people behind them?
Yeah, man. Well, I grew up in Southern Texas, and I started off after high school. I went into the Marine Corps and then transitioned over into the Navy SEAL teams and became a sniper and got combat action, the Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Then got picked up for DevGru, which everybody's calling SEAL Team 6 now, and spent the bulk of my career there. So I got very high-level training and experience there. And then I did 5 more years of federal law enforcement after that. Transitioned into high threat dignitary protection, running protective teams for the Department of State and other agencies that we don't talk about, moving diplomats around in the war zones, making sure they don't get killed or captured. And then after about a decade of that, I transitioned home to do film and television work, and then got into counter poaching work over in Africa. We filmed that, it was called Battleground Rhino Wars. And then now I've founded an organization to defend children from child predators and child traffickers right here in the United States called Veterans for Child Rescue.
Yeah, and then you guys are doing some great work too. There's a lot of people that talk about that issue, but not a lot of people that do things about it. So it's great to have someone who's actually changing things. But how do you jump from what in it your heart triggered you to start this nonprofit?
I had some friends in federal law enforcement that were on the front lines that were telling me, Craig, we're part of these raids and investigations of what we're seeing with the pedophilia and the child trafficking and the ritual abuse of the children really is evil. It's the front lines. When you peel back the layers of politics and the crime aspect of it, all the billions of dollars involved and the sexual perversion, it really gets down to the front lines between good and evil. It really is a spiritual attack on the youth of our country. It's a systematic abuse, and it's really ugly and heartbreaking. And the descriptions that I got really did break my heart. Look, I'm a hard guy. I've been around the world, 55 countries. I've stood in mass graves. I've been in all kinds of conflicts. I have no compassion for terrorists and hardcore thugs, but for the children, man, I got a soft spot. I gotta admit, man, it tore at me. And almost immediately upon my decision to found Veterans for Child Rescue and getting started, I had a tragedy with my own, within my own family, my own immediate family, a victim to this. And so I would say to people out there, if you think this is only happens to someone else in another country, or it won't happen to you, I'm telling you, this happens to every demographic, the wealthiest of the wealthy and the poorest of the poor and everybody in between. Doesn't matter which color, which religion. Man, this happens to runaways. It happens to kidnapping victims. It happens to victims that are brought here from other countries and victims that are taken from single mothers by corrupted child protection agencies, state to state. So there's a wide range of how it happens, but it's big, Sam. Mm. This is big, buddy. And I my heart broke. I had to do it. I just, as a warrior and as a father, I had to do what I could. And the main thrust of Vets for Child Rescue really is to alert the populace. There's a lot of things that I can do. We're running several types of operations, but the biggest and the most powerful, I believe, after all of my extensive experience, I've been a federal criminal investigator. I've worked in the intelligence community, worked in counterterrorism. What I see is the biggest weapon that I can use in defense of our children is to rip the lid off of the secrecy of child trafficking in the United States. Because let's face it, Sam, the American mainstream news media refuses to talk about it. They won't cover it. No matter how many arrests, how many thousands and thousands of arrests, they're not talking about it. People have to ask themselves why now. It's gotten so bad, so obvious that they're hiding it. It's now time for even the average American citizen to stand up and go, wait a minute, why is that? This is a far bigger story than a lot of the things they're reporting on. Why aren't they telling us what's happening to our own children? And so I think alerting the populace and letting them know that we do have a problem, what the nature of the problem is, and that it's right here, right now. It's not another country. It's not someone else. It's not another city. It's in your city and it's in your town. It's probably happened to somebody that you know if you start asking around. So alerting the populace is job one, because we can't fight what we don't know. And if you love your people, and I love the American people, I want them empowered and understand the threat against us and the threat against our children. That's what I'm doing. So the biggest tool that I can bring to alert the American populace is a powerful, high-quality, hard-hitting documentary that's very informative, that walks the American public through what's really happening, or what nobody else will tell them, and show them with their own eyes. They'll be able to see what's really going on out there. They'll be shocked and horrified, but they need to know. They'll be empowered by the information. And it's brought I don't want to say with a spirit of love. I think that kind of sounds corny for my personal vernacular, but it is. So I'm bringing this out of a spirit of helping, and I want to empower the people so that they see what's going on, so that we can stop this, so that the children quit being subjected to the unthinkable. And we're part of the documentary is us running sting operations with joint operations with federal and local law enforcement. We interact and interdict the pedophiles and the child predators, and we let them incriminate themselves, and we run the case, and we let them get incriminated to the point to where the district attorney, he was usually standing right next to me in the safe house, says, yep, Craig, that's all we need. He's as dirty as I need him to be. Bring him in, and I'll let my lead agent give them the address, and they'll bring them right to the house, and we lock them up. So we make the case and hand them over to law enforcement, and they process the rest. So it's a great team effort. It's been tremendously effective. And in fact, we're looking at multiplying and replicating our proven model of success with other federal and local law enforcement agencies and even civilian investigators across the country. And then lastly, educating the American people. We've got another org that we're partnering with named Sold No More, and they've got a beautiful curriculum to educate the school children on how predators stalk them through their smart devices, their phones, their iPads, their Xboxes, and their computers, and trick the kids into thinking that they're talking to us, just another kid, but when reality, so many times on the other side, it's a creepy, perverted adult on the other end, luring the child out of safety so that they can snatch them up and sell them into the child sex trafficking trade. And sadly, Sam, the average life expectancy is about 7 years for the kids in that world. It's ugly. It's abusive. They get them addicted almost immediately to hardcore drugs. They feed them garbage. They sleep a lot of times in horrid conditions. It's the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And so it's a worthy fight, man. I'd rather be doing fun things in this last half of my life, but I can't feel good looking away. And that's another thing. I don't mean to drone on and not let you talk, but I'll shut up now. But I can't turn away, man. You know, there's a Pink Floyd song saying on the turning away, let there be no more turning away. I think that's so perfect for what's going on in this situation. The American people have been turning away from this because it's painful and it's ugly, but we have to face it down as a society, as a populace, and as a nation to put this down, to put this harm, put this crime spree down and beat it back on behalf of our children. They're worthy. Our children deserve our defense. We must stand up to defend the defenseless.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't worry about droning on. I come here all the time. This is the first time here, so you talk all you want. And I like what you said about it's an effort of love, because and it's not corny and it's not a fluff word. And that's something that we need to start changing in our culture too, is love is a weapon. That's what my dad says. Love is a weapon. It's our greatest weapon to be able to push back the darkness in these things. So I love that's where your heart's at, coming from putting this documentary of very dark things in a place of love, because like it's, truth hurts, man. It's not fun. It's not going to be great, but we need these things. So are you able to walk us through a sting operation? How do you set it up, and then how does it go down? I don't want you to give away all your secrets and cause problems, but I kind of want an idea of what happens.
Yeah, well, I could share a little bit with you, but just not certain specifics. So
absolutely.
We've got a lead investigative agent who, if we target a certain area, let's say we're going to work with a certain district attorney, chief of police, and or sheriff, and they'll bring in their SWAT team, canine unit, highway patrol in some cases, and we'll set up an operation, and we'll brief with them, coordinate with them, and our lead investigative agent will start researching on the internet and different apps, you know, phone apps, in that area, and people that work and interact with in that area, and begin seeing who the players are, what's going on, and then she will begin interacting with them and giving them a chance to identify themselves, to let her know what they are out for, what they're looking for, what kind of crimes they would like to commit against the children. And she interacts with them until they have committed crimes on the internet in their pursuit of the children, to the degree to where they are prosecutable for probably 30 years to life in prison for their intended crimes, their pursuit of the children. And by working with the district attorney who's going to prosecute the case, there's nobody better to that understands the law, understand what the nature of the crimes are, what all the dialogue has been, and how solid the case is going to be. So it really is a very effective model in that regard. So working closely with those who will prosecute the case, we understand when we've got the case won, and so we go ahead and bring the perpetrator, a child predator, in, and they still believe that they're going to be able to come and harm a child to whatever degree that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll see with what we're doing is we talk to them a little bit first before we let them know that they're about to be arrested. We've got different people, different decoy agents that they can talk to and express their concerns. They think they've come over to a house for some sort of sick party or scenario where they're going to get what they're looking for or what they're sometimes paying for. And then I'll come in and have a discussion with them. And a lot of times that kind of freaks them out because, you know, I don't look as welcoming as a young female or another female agent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, especially depending on how I dress. And so I've tried different approaches. I've tried playing different characters just to see how they respond. And then eventually I let them know that that their behavior is harmful for the children, and that I represent an organization called Veterans for Child Rescue, and that I make child safety my business.
Wow.
And that they've put themselves in my crosshairs in that regard. And that I let them know that that their type of abuse, it causes great psychological trauma to the children. And I ask them questions about why they think that doing what they're doing is in any way okay, how they feel about what it is that they're doing. Some of them will tell you quite a bit about it. Some of them just seize up and, you know, want to run out the door, or get eaten up by the canine unit, or or taken down by the SWAT team, or whatever they want. I've got it standing right there around the corner. I'll use a brevity code, call in the team that make effective takedown. So I just talk to them as long as I want to, and then I'll give that brevity code and step aside and let the law enforcement effect the arrest. It's cleaner that way, and prosecute them. And then they interview them further, and it's just A to Z kind of thing. So we film everything. There's cameras everywhere. It's all in 4K HD, Uber HD quality. So the American public will get to see, and the sting operations, kind of what the perpetrator's thinking and how they behave when they're pursuing children in that scenario. There's a lot of different types of the hardcore traffickers that are in big and powerful crime syndicates that pursue the children in a different way than the ones that you'll see typically in our sting operations. And we've got cases going on in some of those high level guys too, federal cases. And so there's a wide scope of it, Sam. And so people are going to see surviving victims in Contraland. They're going to see witnesses, law enforcement, talk about what they've seen and what it's like for them. They're going to get to talk to some of our agents, some of our team members. We're debating whether or not to let them talk to some of our Viper team members. And for people that may not know, my Viper team members are comprised of the harder edge guys that I've operated with on the covert side. So most of my Viper team guys are guys that I've operated with on SEAL teams. So they're SEAL Team 6 operators, Delta Force veterans, CIA and FBI senior officials who are just really good at the covert operations and surveillance side of it. So they run the things that you don't see on camera, but they're always right there and hidden, stashed around our operational area, communicating with me so that I've got a good heads up on what's going on. So that's really what the Viper team's for. They're not usually seen on camera, but definitely part of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be so, for lack of a better term, interesting just to get inside someone's head that thinks that way, that thinks that that's okay to be a part of something like that. It's just to hear them try to justify it. Just how do you not just punch him in the face, like just take him down? That's got to be so hard.
It's angering to see a lack of compassion, a lack of empathy, you know, that sociopathic tendency in a human where they just want to take out their selfish lust on a child, and they don't seem to have any regard for how that would impact the child. And that's why I like to ask them, just to see what they'll say. Hey, what is it that you think would happen to the child after you raped them here? You know, what is it? Do you not recognize that they're going to be left with a lifelong trauma to go through therapy and counseling to try to get beyond, to work out in their mind? If it's a young boy, he's going to be struggling with, well, am I homosexual because this thing happened to me and I, you know, and I didn't fight to the death over it? Because I let him know, you know, a child does not have the psychological tools yet. Their outer cortex and frontal lobe are not yet fully developed until they're about 23 years old, they're saying now. They're learning now it's later than they thought before. So child is not psychologically developed with the skills and the tools to put up and articulate a defense and advocate for themselves against a manipulative adult who's overridden with their own selfish lust, and they're determined to take out that lust on the child. Child's not equipped with the proper defenses for that, and it causes great trauma on that young mind. And I know, and I'm going to share with the American public how many of them can express now in adulthood and articulate the damage done and how it harms them forever. And, you know, I give thanks for those who can heal and move beyond and forgive, because it's hard, man, for them. I hear the pain in their lives, but the one that heal the most, Sam, are the one they get their healing from Jesus Christ. They'll tell you immediately. It's more beautiful and more complete healing than anywhere else. And I've dealt with enough of them to see a pattern. I mean, it's just clear as night and day. Those that are happy now and well adjusted, they give the credit to Jesus Christ. They're like, oh, well, that's where my healing came from. It says right in the Bible, you know, I'm forgiven and I'm healed, and they can just walk you straight through it. So it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it really is. Really is.
Yeah. And that's, oh, guys, you guys, there's an important point here that I think a lot of people who discuss things like sex trafficking or discuss things like conspiracy theories or the deeper state or things that really have a lot of darkness around them, they get sucked into that darkness and they get depressed and they lose hope and they start fighting on the internet or they fight with people and they have a huge negativity to them. But what we see here with Mr. Sawyer is he's in this every day, but he comes out and he's like, listen, we're winning this war. We're having this positivity. Jesus is the Lord. He saves us all. And that is a mentality that we really need to carry on as we discuss any topic or any idea that we come across, is we got to know the end game here. And it's we win, and the children that are being saved can come to Jesus, and they live a life of waking more people up and saving more people. So it's truly, it's a horrendous thing to go through, but Genesis 50:20, for Satan intended it for evil, for God intended it for good, so that the multitudes would be saved. And that's what we're talking about here. So that's, I love that point so much. That's so good. But to transition back into our world, and I struggle because this is such a perverse thing. Why do we see such a rise in this pedophilia in our culture? What is pushing us towards that?
It started really with a sick and perverted doctor named Alfred Kinsey back in the 1950s. Kinsey was a sadomasochistic pedophile, and he went around falsifying his reports because he wanted the world to see him as normal and wholesome and good. So he falsified his reports to reflect the world as he wanted it to be. And he wanted children to be orgasmic from birth. So he falsified all of his studies where he paid other perverts to rape children for his study. And he made all of his studies to match what was in his mind. So any screaming or crying or jerking or flinching from the children, he marked as orgasm. Sick, sick mind. And I'm told by Dr. Judith Reisman, who's one of my heroes, and she is she's on our board of advisors for Veterans for Child Rescue. She has been a champion for the children like no other, and she has been dogging the falsified and harmful studies of Alfred Kinsey for 50 years now, and trying to alert people to the harm and the damage. And so Kinsey went around politicking, changing the laws state by state to soften the laws to pedophilia, to make pedophilia seem like just another form of love instead of a harmful rape, a mind-shattering, psyche-shattering assault on an unsuspecting and helpless and defenseless child. It's just love.
Yeah.
And soften the educational system on it to make it seem okay, and soften our psychological medical system and to make it seem, again, somehow okay and normal. And so they want to try to normalize it again and again and again. And that's why, Sam, to answer your question, that's why it has become so prevalent, because we've now raised three generations of pedophiles since Kinsey. It's growing. It's a cascading system of failure and destruction that is multiplying itself. And we have to stand up as a nation and call it out and realize it's not inclusive and it's not loving and it's not accepting to say that pedophilia is normal. It's harmful. What it is you are allowing perverts to rape children and ruin those children's lives. you're enabling predators by saying pedophilia is normal. It's not normal. And the reason that pedophilia can never be allowed to be normalized is one simple fact, is that the child cannot advocate for themselves. It's not like what two perverted adults may do. If two perverted adults agree to interact in a certain way, I have no care about that. As long as it's not affecting me or causing harm to others, that's their thing. But when you take it out on a child, that's what makes it different. That's distinctive and different about pedophilia, is the child cannot defend themselves. It must never be accepted. It must never be called normal, and it will never be okay.
Yeah, and you see the same idea being pushed today. I saw today Planned Parenthood coming out with pamphlets for 10-year-olds saying that sex is okay. And then you see a few months ago, Vice wrote an article about your pedophilia next door. It's just sick things like that. They're trying to normalize it, like you said, to push us to a point that is you can't come back from. Because when you corrupt a whole generation like that, when you get in their brain and mess with their psyche, that's just one step closer to breaking them down and making them easier to control and fragile, and you can't do anything with them. So back in November when Trump was elected, we kind of saw a shift on a lot of things, and I heard about more reports about pedophilia rings being taken down. One is, is Trump's election, is that made it easier for you to do your job? And two, have you, is that reality? Are things increasing in speed taking these things down because of Trump's election?
Yes, I believe that and have seen that to be true. And I believe had the election gone to Hillary, so many of us who are doing great things would not have been allowed to do anything. I think we would have been stopped from founding the organizations and doing the work that we're doing right now. I think that the radical left is so involved in child trafficking and pedophilia, and that whole evil aspect of that harm against the children, that they would have been very prohibitive in our positive efforts to defend the children. I've seen that because Silicon Valley has fought tooth and nail to silence American patriots, to silence anyone who is exposing child trafficking and the harms of pedophilia. All of the social media networks and the platforms have taken to silencing the American patriot and those standing up for the children. It's become very, very obvious now. It's getting worse and worse. At some point, it'll come to a head and blow up to some degree. I don't know what that'll look like, but it's reaching kind of fever pitch right now. Everybody seems to see it now, even just the normal unsuspecting citizens. So, yeah, there's been a lot of arrests since this election. And it's only been because of Trump. He has made it clear and made very public statements that he is not okay with child trafficking and pedophilia. And he is fighting back. And that is why the DOJ and local law enforcement has been much more successful and much more active against it since the November election.
Yeah. Have you seen, what has he done to promote that besides saying things? Have you seen, certain agents being dedicated to certain groups or money coming in from the government? What is he doing to kind of assist you?
Well, he's made public announcements and he's given directive to his DOJ, mm-hmm. that is one of his directives, that they are to go after it. Okay. And you just track the numbers of arrests, the thousands of arrests made across the country, then you can see that the DOJ is following his directive. He's the commander in chief, and he's let them know his commander's intent, which is to clean this up.
Yeah.
And so they do appear to be setting about it. I would argue that there's if one burner is on high, we could turn all four burners, to use a stovetop analogy, turn all four burners on high, because this has gotten very big and is very pervasive and is very dark and ugly.
Yeah.
And so every child is worth rescue as soon as we can get to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see, it's such a war on our children. It's such a war on the youth in our country, coming from this thing with the pedophilia, but also the war on, masculinity. You being a Navy SEAL, coming from just the I'm sure you've seen some of the worst things that any human can see. And now you go back to America and we're concerned about what gender we are and safe spaces and the things they're teaching on our college campuses, it's just, it's got to be mind-blowing to you to even try to come from one place and go to another. Is it, how are you coping with that?
Well, when I first transitioned from the pointy tip of the spear, the highest level of counterterrorist operations and the military, to law enforcement, that's when I got the biggest culture shock of my life. I saw that you cannot speak the truth. You have to tiptoe around. Like, you can't tell an agent who's grossly overweight that he's fat and that he's a liability to the agency because he needs 2 seatbelt buckles to get in his seat. And how is he going to be a part of the solution when he can't even get out of his seat? And that he needs to get in shape. I mean, you just can't speak directly to people like that.
Yeah.
And the SEAL teams, we speak very bluntly and very efficiently with our words, very directly, effectively. We call things what they are out of practical necessity. There's not a lot of time for rosy powder puffing and sugar coating things. We speak very directly because we're professionals. And we must be effective. And the world's counting on, at least the United States is counting on our effectiveness. There's a lot of money, a lot of national security at stake. So there's no luxury for anything but straight talk. Transition to federal law enforcement, everything's powder puffed. You got to sugarcoat everything, man. You can't tell somebody they're worthless, that they're useless in the mission, that they better pull their crap together and get it in one sock and do their damn job. You know, you can't do that. Oh man, they would fall apart and write you up as their supervisor. And so that's the first glimpse I got to it. And I started researching once I transitioned over into an intelligence agency. I was protecting some of the highest level folks in the country over the hottest zones and running operations with a lot of guys that are legends that have been around for decades and been through all kinds of conflicts, and people have written books about them, and they know who the players are. They know how things work. They know why our world is going the way that it is. And they've slid me post-it notes of things to research and books to read and people to meet and talk to. And we've set up on surveillance at night and safe houses and other things and talked. And I've learned a lot. And what I've learned is a lot of this radical leftist culture is an attack. You hit the nail on the head, Sam. You understand what's going on. I can hear it in your words already, just from the short time I've been on the air with you in this interview. It's an attack, the leftist culture against our youth. It comes from the Frankfurt School. It comes from Columbia University. It comes from Saul Alinsky. And those who believe in that anti-American, Marxist, godless culture, it's all trickery, it's all subversion, it's all meant to break down and weaken the effectiveness of the United States. And what's made the United States so effective over the decades? It's been our culture, and our culture is one of extreme effectiveness. And testosterone's part of that. The males, man, testosterone brings certain things. It brings aggression, it brings energy and hard work, clarity of thought, and intent to succeed. And so they want to poison testosterone, make it seem like it's somehow toxic, right? And make it sound like it's something negative. So if you can shatter the minds of an entire youth, an entire generation, by assaulting them, by raping them, and shattering their little minds, what happens scientifically, Sam, is it prevents their little minds from fully developing and fully making use of their frontal lobe and outer cortex. Instead, a shattered psyche, a traumatized little mind, will retreat more to their inner brain and their more emotional response to things. They don't shoulder responsibility as well. They want to throw the blame to other people, and they want to be babied and catered, and they have an emotional response. Well, what does that sound like? That sounds like Antifa. That sounds like our new liberal snowflake generation. Well, that's what's happened, is they've been attacked and raped and had their little minds shattered. It's horrific. I don't blame these kids for what's happening to them. I blame their tormentors, their predators, and their attackers. and it's been systematically arranged and perpetrated upon them. We need to rescue our snowflakes, not hate them. We need to educate our snowflakes on what's been done to them. We need to love them and show them a brighter, more effective future than the victimized, poisoned world that they've been shown by the Alinskyites, by folks like Obama and Hillary, and told that they can't, told that they're less than, and that they're weak, and that they're incapable. They've been told lies, and they've been undermined by their tormentors and their attackers, all paid for by George Soros and his ilk. George Soros hates the United States of America. He topples countries for fun, as a sport. He and his global banker buddies. And we got to recognize who our real enemies are and where the culture comes from. So, Sam, when you talk about, yeah, this is an attack against our youth, you're absolutely right, buddy. You've hit the nail right on the head. And I wish more American people would listen to you and those like you and see as clearly as I see from inside the intelligence community, inside the diplomatic community, inside of the top of the federal law enforcement community, how the players work, how they twist and pervert the truth, and how they suppress American patriots, Christians, military, family, how they try to silence our voice so that they can turn our country against our successful and proven culture of effectiveness and weaken us so that we can be taken over ultimately by a Marxist global system, which the global bankers, really it ends up being global communism. But they like to soften it and call it first democratic socialism, which sounds very beautiful. And it'd be the first time that socialism's ever worked out great for a large country like this.
No, it will this time. I promise. You don't understand. It's going to work.
It's going to just miraculously be this magical utopia, and no one's going to have to really work, and you're just going to get free stuff, and it'll, you know, we don't know where the money's going to come from. Nobody can articulate or show you the math, but hey, it'll just magically work, and then just give all the government, wait, cops are bad, cops are horrible, all they want to do is murder the minorities, but let's give them all of our guns. Wait a minute, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm watching them, I'm like, they don't even know what their agenda is. They're trying to take over the United States. They're trying to weaken our youth. They want to render us defenseless, to disarm us. But their narrative doesn't stand up under a little scrutiny. Man, if you just ask yourself, well, if the cops are so bad, if the government's so bad, why do we want to give them 100% control of our lives? You know, wouldn't that end up in potentially leading to government-sponsored genocide like socialism and communism has so many times in the past, with hundreds of millions lined up and systematically executed, people that no longer have firearms because they thought, gee, let's give them up to the federal government. That'll work out as perfectly for us all. And of course, it never has. So, you know, I think the blinders are coming off a little bit. I'd love to see Trump get his full cabinet in place and start his real full agenda of making America great again. I love what he's doing, returning the economy and manufacturing here to the United States and giving people jobs, giving people hope, prosecuting the guilty again, and then enforcing our laws. And I say it's a return to sanity.
Yeah.
And there's a gnashing of teeth. There's a lot of weirdos that are freaking out and thinking that, you know, that their lunatic fringe group isn't going to become the center of our society like they had hoped. But, you know, if less than 1% of the people want to be the epicenter of the universe, then it's probably not a realistic expectation to begin with. But I think we got to get back to serving the majority of the American people and the others as best we can. And I think that's what... That's the road that we're on now. So I think the sooner people get on board with it and recognize we're heading in a positive direction, that the economy is up and that the jobs are up and that enforcement of our laws and stopping the harm is on the increase, and that, good things are happening, and that there are fewer people on humiliating, programs like welfare and food stamps now, that the minorities are being empowered and they do have better jobs and more jobs than ever before. There's less unemployment by minorities than ever before right now. And shame on the mainstream news media for failing to admit that and even celebrate it. We should all be celebrating that. I love the minorities as much as I love anybody else. They're Americans. I love the American people. We should unite. We must unite. And I celebrate that. And shame on the mainstream news media for not celebrating that win for the minorities like the rest of us do.
Yeah, amen. There you go. America first. I definitely agree. I love a lot of what Trump has been doing. I think there's definitely some mistakes along the way that he's made, but that's why we continue it's important to pray for him and communicate with him and speak out when he does things that maybe aren't so great, and definitely support him when he does a lot of the great things of bringing back the economy and supporting him in that, because there's a lot of people out there that hate him for all of the wrong reasons. So kind of to relate the Trump campaign and our culture and the elites with what you're doing, do you ever have the opportunity to go after more of a high profile people? I mean, everyone knows that most people in Washington, D.C. are involved with these rings of pedophilia and these nasty things. Are you working towards that as a goal, to take down people like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But people like that are protected by a lot of power players. There's big money involved. Look at the Clinton Foundation and all of that. And until we can get the ear of the president. So I started in April. I founded this organization last year officially. So we're young, man. And we have made tremendous leaps forward, almost miraculous, with the private funding that we've gotten. We've gotten a tiny fraction of what it takes to make a legitimate documentary, and we're making a high quality documentary with it, and we've been all over the country doing it. And some of the people that we've gotten prosecuted now are parts of probably the biggest child trafficking ring in the entire country. And that's going to lead to some big players, some big names too, without saying too much.
Yeah, fair
right
enough.
Now. But some of the names that the bigger names that are more common, really, that needs to come straight from the DOJ. I mean, I'm really frustrated that so many of the most flagrant and obvious players weren't executed, or not executed, but I mean prosecuted.
Well, okay, either long maybe.
and if appropriate, if they're
legally
their crimes of treason warrant it, hung by a rope until death down in Gitmo, because I think many of them have obviously committed crimes to that degree. But I believe in the process. And he asked me earlier, how do I not just choke these people out? And I believe in the process. I think if the law is allowed and the justice system is allowed to run its proper course, then processing them through is the most immaculate and beautiful solution, because this whole culture of subversion and breaking down our system here, our culture in the United States, has been allowed to go on under the radar and not really called out. And I think it's been very, very harmful and counterproductive. And what I believe needs to happen is that when we prosecute these people, these traitors, and those guilty of sedition and subversion on the highest level, we need to have their trials made public. Hey, we all know what happened with the OJ trial. Those of us that are old enough, we could see what went on there. And I think we need to do that for the American people to see just how hostile a lot of these players are. You know, why is it that Governor Jerry Brown in California wants to ban the Bible? Man, that sounds crazy at first glance, but what kind of person is he? What does he subscribe to? Who does he hang with? Where did he get that culture? Why does he want open borders? Why does he want to force migrate as many foreigners into our country illegally as possible? What's wrong with the legal system in Governor Jerry Brown's mind? So why is he doing so many things as governor of a state that holds so many vital national assets. You know, it's you got a lot of strategic ports there, a major border, a huge coastline. I mean, there's a lot of national, not just assets, but resources there from California, you know, minerals and all these other kinds of things. Man, he's sitting on a big national asset in the state of California, just the territory itself. So why is he so hostile? What does he really want? So I think, you know, those like Jerry Brown, those like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama that have caused so much damage, we have to investigate them very deeply and expose their crimes and why they carried out those crimes against the American people, against the best interest of the American citizens, and show it on national television so that we can finally see, oh my God, I had no idea they were that hostile, that evil. Why would they do that to us? We need to show the American people why, exactly how it happened. Here's what they were actually up to, people. They wanted to literally topple the United States through this system of events, this course of events. That's what they were up to. This was what they were actually doing. And let the American people see it so that we're not voting for similar cowards and traitors next time. We need to educate the American people big time.
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to combat darkness is shining a light on it. And I had never really connected those two ideas until you just spoke that. It's so important that we don't just take them down, because taking them down, sure, that removes them from the streets, but someone else is going to fill that place. But if we're able to educate people and show them how we got to this point, then that's what's really going to keep us from going back. There is a city, I forget where, I think it's in Massachusetts or Virginia. It's a small town. They have a memorial a murder was committed there back in the 1700s by an occultist group. A secret society that was formed within their government in this small town, and they ended up committing a murder. Well, the secret society was so deeply rooted into this culture and into this town that everyone involved in the justice system was a part of this secret society, almost everyone. And then there was this murder that came about, and all the people started to wake up and be like, who actually committed this murder? Who did this? What? And they started asking questions, and as soon as it kept getting thrown out of court, they started to be like, wait, the people in court were involved with this, and they started to take it down. And to this day, there's a memorial in that town. I wish I could remember what town it was. Saying, don't let secret societies get into your government and corrupt it, because they will take it down. And they built a memorial to that idea of shining the light on the darkness, because that's what's really going to change and prevent people from going back to it. And so that's the same idea that we run into today. So I think that is really, really important. So as we talk about what we can do kind of in general terms, let's narrow it down into what we can do, what people listening to this can do in their everyday lives. How can we shine the light on the darkness, and how can we stop this pedophilia movement? How can we stop this removal of masculinity? And on the flip side, how can we stop this feminist movement as well? What can people do in their everyday lives?
Well, they could research. Instead of watching so much television or doing some of the other things, maybe transition to a little bit more of an activist culture. Because look, those that are on the negative side, that are tearing down our country, man, they just seem to have this unreal energy to just attack, like zombies, just like ripping apart the United States. We have to exert a little bit of energy to save it. So I say research, inform ourselves more on it, and get involved in the political system. And we need to hound our elected officials, starting with a local level, man. Let them know, hey, you're not okay with this, the Common Core and all the these things that we know don't work, that come from the radical left, that are harmful and sick-minded. So we need to beat these things back. I mean, our textbooks now, history is not taught properly. We don't teach civics in the schools anymore. Our children are being undermined in a lot of ways, and being dumbed down in schools is one. So we need to educate our children on the life lessons of history. What happens when American or when any citizens give too much power to their governments? You know, what are examples of what's happened? That's been taken out and rewritten in the history books. Somebody's done that. There are groups of activists who have changed our history books, and they've politicked and used that leverage to get them in our schools. And that's what our children see now, so they don't know the lessons. We want them empowered with those lessons. We have to fight back and put accurate history books back in school. So those kinds of things, Sam, we can do at the local level. We can hound our congressmen and senators and elect ones that, that carry our culture and our beliefs, our core values, and not just pull a lever for somebody that you don't pay attention to. Research and spend a little time finding out who's who and get the good guys in there. We can run for office. We can run for office. It's a little extra work, but isn't our country worth it? You know, would you rather see your entire country go down the tube and see a communist flag flying, you know, or some kind of demonic flag flying, something that represents something that is entirely unthinkable to us, that goes against everything we hold sacred and valuable? Will we rather see that flag flying over our country one day soon, or is it worth fighting back for? So we need to start running for office and beat back those frantic subversives who are clawing for power right now. Because you look at the people hate politicians because so many of them are liars. And that's because the ones that lust for their personal benefit and personal power, there's the one that they're clawing themselves into office. The good people don't tend to want the credit or want the power. They just want to feed their families. And but we need to roll up our sleeves and serve in that capacity. That's one thing we can do, Sam. And so get involved in the political process in those ways. And man, for Vets for Child Rescue, we're doing great things with a little bit. Man, if we had more, we could do huge things in rescuing our children and educating our children and bringing programs forward that are very, very powerful and life-changing. So they can go to vetsforchildrescue.org. There's a big donate button there. They can help us. They can back us. They can tell their friends and family about us. They can click, like, and share our stuff on social media. They can talk to their law enforcement, their sheriff, their chief of police, and their district attorney and see if they want to operate with us or cooperate with us to take predators off of their streets, man, make their hometowns safer. So those are all things that we can all do, Sam. Those are the things we can do.
Absolutely. You heard it here first, guys. Craig Stoller is running for president in 2024. So get ready out there to go vote for him. No, that's I definitely agree. Got to be involved with the political world and our local government. It starts. Change is a grassroots movement. It's not going to ever be top down. The leaders can be very influential, but if we don't change our culture is upstream from politics, and we have to be able to dive deep into and change our everyday lives to then affect the political world like you talked about. So I 100% agree. You touched on it a little bit, but where can people find you and how can they support you? What are some of those social media platforms that you were talking about?
Well, vetsforchildrescue.org is our website. So I encourage everybody to go there first. We've got Veterans for Child Rescue Facebook page. Please go there. I think that now there's a Contraland page, which is our documentary. So there's a page, Facebook page separate for that.
When does that come out?
We're looking at September. I want it to go September. We're still running operations that are event-driven, not timeline-driven. We can't force certain big things to happen that we are filming.
Yeah.
And so the timeline's driving. I'm still pushing my guys to let's try to wrap it and see if we can get it edited and into Netflix by September so that people can see it in September. So I'm hoping that September
Perfect.
Holds.
Okay.
That's my goal still. I've got a Craig Sawman Sawyer Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter, and I just have fun. My personal views don't necessarily represent the views of Veterans for Child Rescue. Veterans for Child Rescue is apolitical. It's a nonprofit org. As me, as a personal entity, I just share my views on my own personal page. So,
one last
little bit of a disclaimer there.
Perfect. One last question before we go. How did you get the nickname Craig Sawman Sawyer?
Sawman, my best friend, TJ Ship, and we were in about, I think it was third grade, playing keep away on the playground. at recess. We were just throwing the football back and forth, several of us guys that had been playing football together. He's like, my last name is Sawyer. And he was, you know, they call me Saw Man, Saw Mug, Saw Dude. He's like, Saw Man, hit me long. And he just started calling me Saw Man. And then it just stuck, man. And then it became a call sign in the SEAL teams and then other covert realms. And it just stuck. And now I'm turning it into a brand. Sawman. You can get my Sawman t-shirts on tacticalinsider.com. That's my website.
Man, I got to be honest with you. I've never been more disappointed with an origin story than that. I was expecting like guns a-blazing on the SEAL Team 6. And you're going, no, that's awesome. No,
I'm honest, bro. Oh, I won't make up a story. That's the real thing. It's not sexy and it's not harrowing and it's not dangerous. It's just a simple play on my last name.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Well, hey, if you guys listened to this whole interview and you weren't sure if you could trust him or not, no one would make up a story like that. So there you go. You can definitely trust him on that. Thank you so much for coming on the Sharpener Report. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. I enjoyed the whole thing. I hope this does well.
Absolutely. Guys, that's our show for this week. Remember, be involved with your political world. It's so important that we're able to change it and be involved. The light is being shined on this darkness by people all over the world doing all sorts of crazy things. And it's your job to get involved, too, to shine the light on something that strikes your heart. Something struck Craig's heart as he got involved with this. What is on your heart? What is tugging at your heart that you just need to change? Well, that's what God is calling you to. You have that passion for a reason, and you need to get out there and shine the light on it and save the people. Like I said before, Genesis 50:20, Satan intended it for evil, but God intended it for good, so the multitudes will be saved. And that's what we got to do. Guys, I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but you know what? I appreciate it if you do. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope that you have a great week.
Whole other part of the country. Check this out.
Can you do it a little bit faster by any chance? You're like
for effect.